podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com. Fight broken down. Was it the body punching? Are you guys hitting the body punching? Are you hitting the body punching? Actually, you're trying here.
BoxingVoice.com. I am your host, Nestor Gibbs. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO. Big shout out to everyone who subscribed to the channel. We made it, baby. We made it. 55,000. We're doing big things around here. It's time to talk about Big Pitbull, the heavyweight division, Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz. It's official. Press conference is this Wednesday. It's going down November 4th, Brooklyn, New York. Stand up. We have a heavyweight fight on our hands. You guys asked for it. You wanted him to be tested. You wanted a challenge. Some are saying the first real challenge. And if everything is true, ladies and gentlemen, and that undercard is correct on what they're saying is coming our way, Bermain Stiverne and Dominic Brazil is not a bad one, but we're going to go ahead and pass it on over to our panelists here. We got a couple of hosts joining us. We're going to be talking some boxing with you. We're going to go head on out to the Golden State.
Dollar D. Beyonce production.
This is a beautiful performance against a very competent guy in Michael Johnson. How do you feel about it?
Fuck yeah. One of the greatest. You know me, Larry. From the wicked entrance, from the flip over the rock, in your knock out. The main thing is, I just want the guy.
Yes, the hipsters here. Haters beware. And God, Deontay Wilder does have those haters. And is this fight going to be the fight that really stops that? Is this going to be the fight where if he knocks out Ortiz, if he beats Ortiz, were those guys that say Wilder isn't a good boxer, that he's trash, hasn't beat anyone, 36 bums, blah, 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 blah. Is this the fight to prove them all wrong? I think so, and I think a lot of insiders do as well, so I can't wait for this fight. It's a great fight to close out an amazing year of boxing. This is one of the best years of boxing in a long time. This is just another great fight in a great year.
Heading over to the amateur in the Garden State, Doomsday, what's up?
TBV, what's up? What can I tell you, Ness, man? I'm excited, man. The heavyweight division hasn't been this exciting in a long time, and seeing these two guys match up, a matchup that – you know, a lot of the boxing fans have been wanting to see, because everyone's, like Matt says, you know, the bums and, you know, all the criticism that Deontay has had. I think this is one of the fights that's, I mean, what do you think, Ness? It should shut the mouths of the doubters. I think it's a great fight in the Barclays Center. And I think it's going to be a huge turnout. I'm excited to talk about this.
Well, November 4th, it's going down in Brooklyn. And, I mean, there's really not much to say. I guess we should talk about the style matchup, because for so long we've been talking about, you know, potential fights with Wilder and who or what fighter can test him. Now, this is a true test. It's a southpaw, Matt. So how much of a difference is this going to be in terms of what we see in the ring come fight night?
It could be very different. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen Wilder with a guy that is as technically sound as Ortiz, that has the power of Ortiz, that has the experience of Ortiz. Ortiz is almost the complete package. The only thing that's always been faulting him is his age, that he started late due to being Cuban. But I think, like Alex said, I think a lot of people think this is going to be his hardest opponent. This is going to be his best opponent. I know people that are Wilder fans always say, well, Bermain Stiverne. But Ortiz is on a completely different level. We have to be honest about that. Ortiz has been the boogeyman for a long time. When he iced Bryant Jennings the way he did, that put the entire division on notice. And lately, a lot of the top heavyweights have been shying away from Ortiz. Wilder isn't. Wilder wants this fight. Obviously, Heyman made the move to bring Ortiz over to Heyman Boxing for a reason, to make this fight, because maybe Wilder wanted this fight. And I know a lot of people, even in the chat, have been saying, well, Dillian Whyte probably was maybe the smarter matchup because it's maybe a bigger money fight. It easily builds the Joshua fight. But Wilder's, you know, doing a fan service here. This fight's a fan service. This is Wilder saying, all you hardcore fans that hated me, this fight's for you, to shut you all up. I don't care about money right now. This is a fight to shut all those haters up. And I love that. I think whenever we see a guy go after the guy we all say he's not going to fight, I'm impressed. And I'm just happy we got this fight, because I knew the negotiations were a little bit tough and they were dragging on a bit. But now we got it. We should be happy. I think even Wilder haters can admit this is a fantastic fight at the top of the heavyweight division.
Now, Ness, you mentioned Styles and, you know, King Kong being a southpaw. I know Shpilka. What round did Shpilka meet his demise in? I don't remember. Was it the 10th round?
Let Matt check that out to be exact, but I want to say 7th round.
7th round. I mean, I feel like Shpilka, being a southpaw, gave, you know, presented some different angles for Deontay Wilder. Now, Luis Ortiz being a southpaw too, and being, I think, a little more lengthier, a little taller, a little bigger, I think it's going to make for a hell of a fight. Excited to see what type of game plan the Wilder camp is going to work on in order to take on Luis Ortiz. Remember, Luis Ortiz is also a strong power puncher and, you know, with some length. So it's going to have to be something tailored to specific to Luis in order to beat him. It's not going to be no easy cakewalk for Deontay. But, you know, that bomb lands. That's the IQ. That's the cue for the bomb squad.
Very quickly, it was the 9th round that Spilka was knocked out in. Wilder is a guy that does – he starts slow. Wilder is a guy that likes to ease into a fight. They likes to get that range down, and it may take him a bit to find that range. And I think Ortiz is another master of range and distance. I think this fight – this is a very tough matchup for Wilder. I think even
I don't think it's going to be as tough as people thought. And, you know, I hate to say it, but I think that even after this fight, he won't get the credit. You know, if you look over Luis Ortiz's resume, as of late, he hasn't looked as dangerous. You said it, since Brian Jennings, you know, he kind of put the division on notice, but since Brian Jennings is probably the last time he looked as good. Malik Scott, who someone Wilder knocked out so badly, so quickly that the world thought it was a phantom punch, you know, he took Luis Ortiz, the quote-unquote boogeyman, 12 rounds. I mean, Derek Chisora beat Malik Scott, am I right? I mean, I know there was a controversial 9-10 count, which I still stand by, that they counted him out at 9, but, I mean, at the end of the day, Malik Scott stood down as long as a 9 or a 10. Then David Allen, the Rhino, who's now penciled in to have a rematch with Lenroy Thomas, you know, he did very well versus Luis Ortiz. And people question the age. You wouldn't say very well? You wouldn't say that a guy with 9 fucking fights that lasted that many rounds and put hands on, I mean, that's well, bro. That's like me getting in there with a pro heavyweight and doing what I would say I did well myself, bro. Like, he was supposed to blow David Allen out.
Yeah, that's fine that he was supposed to get
this
blown out.
This guy had 10 fights.
Not like he went out there and, like, started touching up Ortiz. I never saw that.
He lasted way longer than we thought. He lasted way longer than we thought. Did David Allen versus Luis Ortiz? Let me ask you this question. Put an easy comparison. Did David Allen versus Luis Ortiz look like McGregor and Mayweather? Because that's the level.
There's a lot of fights between high-level competitors that looked less competitive or less interesting, or whatever word you want to use.
Well, let's not get hung up on it. You know what I'm saying? The bottom line is maybe he fights up to the level of opposition, Matt. And maybe that's why Okay, because maybe that's why he didn't do well, or not well, but aesthetically it wasn't a pleasing fight versus Malik Scott, because he couldn't get up versus Malik Scott and David Allen, because versus Tony Thompson, he handled business quickly. I was at that fight in D.C., and versus Brian Jennings, he handled business. You know, I was not at that fight, but I obviously watched it live. You know, the Coyote fight I remember watching as well, but that was when there was some sort of controversy with a drug test, right? Something like that. Got turned to a no contest.
That's true.
So I still think that stylistically, this is going to be a fight that Wilder probably won't get the credit for, because he's going to use the style that he used in the Bermain Stiverne fight. He'll stay on the outside. He'll use the jab, use his range, and lure Ortiz into, you know, something, because he has to get desperate. Ortiz is a counterpuncher. He's a southpaw. He's more of a plotter. Wilder's more agile. He's taller. So the thing is, no one's ever really pressed Wilder. Ortiz is a Hispanic fighter. He fights and he digs to the body. So it's going to be an interesting matchup, you know, if Ortiz can do certain things. But again, I'm expecting Wilder to fight very similar to the Bermain Stiverne fight.
2 points. I think the Bermain Stiverne fight was a fight that he got a lot of respect from. I think that a lot of insiders, a lot of writers, a lot of journalists, they all thought that was Wilder showing some boxing skill in that fight. So if he does anything close to that, I think he will get credit, actually, in a way that you may not see at this point. But I understand your logic and the way you think about it. But I also think that the jab is going to be a very difficult battle here. It's probably going to be a battle that doesn't matter. But when we have a southpaw and orthodox fighter, the jab game is just different. It is just a drastically different thing than when it's orthodox versus orthodox, or southpaw versus southpaw.
But one guy does eventually take the lead. And
No,
like,
you are right. You are right. Yeah. But it's different. So I don't think it's going to look the same way with Stiverne, because that jab was just there consistently throughout the night in that fight due to the stances. I think the jab is going to be less there. I think they're going to throw it less often as well, because he does not want to get caught with anything.
Yeah, man. But with that range, Matt, is different, bro. I know that typically, right? Like orthodox southpaw, people say, well, the straight left is going to come down the middle for the orthodox fighter. But we're talking about, you know, we're talking 6'7 and 6'4. We're talking, you know, very long 84, 87 inch reaches. Man, these guys just lean back, you know, and get out of the way of punches. I don't know. We'll see. The thing is that Ortiz has never showed me that he's like a guy that's going to push the pace. So, I don't know. Interested to see what happens. Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. What's the game plan for the Ortiz camp to go ahead and bypass that jab? I know that Ortiz has a sneaky left uppercut on the inside. So, you know, If these guys are one is southpaw, one is orthodox, and we all know that they're both susceptible to their power hands. So if Deontay hit, you know, Deontay 9 out of 10 times has the reach, he's going to land first. So for Ortiz to go power hand to power hand, I don't see it happening. I see that dip, you know, to the left and left uppercut being a tool of Ortiz. He has to be within mid-range. He can't fight this fight in the long range. Deontay's going to beat him 9 out of 10 times in that.
Well, I mean, even on the inside, you got to remember, when you think back to the Duopai fight versus Wilder, once he got comfortable with Duopai, he was on the inside. He was trying to do, you know, his – and look, and I'm not
– Duhapis?
Well, he calls him Duopai, so I don't know.
Duhapis,
though, whatever. I mean, when he fought him, right, he was doing a lot of, like, side-to-side. Like, kind of his own – I don't want to really call it that, but, you know, he was doing like his own little rope-a-dope. He would shift on the inside. He would throw uppercuts. Like, I think his body work is not his body work, but his inside game is underrated. I'm very happy this fight is happening. We don't have to stay here too long. This is just an announcement. You know, we've talked about this one so much. about the possibilities and the rumors, and it may happen, it might not happen. It's finally official. The press conference is going to be in Brooklyn at the actually, the fight is going to be in Brooklyn, but the press conference will be in Manhattan Wednesday for the announcement. We'll be live on hand, so you know, we're definitely bringing you some live coverage on this particular press conference, and hopefully there's gonna, I'm sure there's going to be some drama, because Wilder has something to prove. And before we go to those phone lines, I guess that's what I want to ask you guys. You know, I've spoken to him obviously on numerous occasions, but he gets a lot of social media hate, right? So how much does that affect his performance on fight night? Because he has that chip on his shoulder, right? He feels he's the best, but the world thinks it's Joshua, right? He feels he deserves to be on a certain stratosphere, but the world thinks that this in Luis Ortiz now is his toughest test. And many people are going to say that he's going to, A, get sparked if you're from the UK. And in the U.S., he's going to get knocked out. That Al Haymon couldn't cherry pick him for him anymore and yada, 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 you know? And that, and I know you said you understand my logic, but remember, all of the people that call Luis Ortiz old and, oh, we don't know how old he is, and, you know, the minute
they
that's
like shit against Malik Scott. They
exactly.
Like
that's what
now.
I'm saying there's, about
that narrative. Absolutely. That's why I see it.
And that's what I'm saying, that if he gets the win, they're going to come with that same bullshit scenario.
It's very possible. I think it all depends what the fight looks like, to be honest. If there's no controversy in the fight, et cetera. But if the social media haters, if all that, the negative backlash he always gets, does that affect him in the ring in November? Potentially. If it does, it's going to affect him in two ways. One, he's definitely over-aggressive and he's rushing into things, not sending up any work. That could be a way of, if he does that, we could see that as a sign of the pressure sort of got to him. Or he's overly cautious. He's walking backwards a lot. He's not countering. He's just working on defensive movement. He's overly cautious. That's another sign of the moment, the fight, the pressure getting to him in some sort of way. I think neither of those happen.
Mr. Lyonnaise, you want to give your thoughts, or are you spaced out and need help?
No, don't need help. But I mean, if you want my thoughts on what's going to happen, What's gonna be the outcome? I mean, you know,
no, more like thoughts on that pressure from social media, the haters of Deontay Wilder. Does that affect him on fight night?
No, I don't think Deontay is ever affected by it. I think, you know, deep down inside, he always has maybe something that kind of bothers him, because, you know, as a champion, you know, you fight for your fans and you go out there and you're winning in devastating fashions, and you get a backlash. But, you know, I think this is that fight that, I mean, you got to shut the mouths with this one. Anybody out there who's been doubting the champ, if he goes out there and performs and he gets the job done, this should be great for him. And the social media pressure and all that stuff, I don't think that's ever affected the champ. But this is going to be the fight that I think will give him that status amongst those doubters.
I don't know, man. I can see a world where he wants to do so well, because this is the one that, because imagine if he can, because you got to think about the Gennady Golovkin thing, right? Like Golovkin, how many now fights is this without a knockout? You know, that whole facade of the bomb squad could come completely disappear if every time you face top level opposition, the knockout isn't there. And it's the heavyweight division, right? So, and we know him to break hands and go for gusto. Look, I mean, you see his back leg up in the air when he's trying to knock out Duopai. And even Molina, right? So you don't know. This one meaning so much to him, maybe he fights a little bit outside of his character. Not outside of his character. Maybe he gets a little wider than or wilder than we've seen him and gets caught by the Cuban, very schooled boxer. He can get counterpunched. I mean, at the end of the day, Ortiz is a counterpuncher.
Yeah, but very quickly, you said something about the idea that if he goes to decision and he wins, even if he wins, they're going to say, well, you ain't really bomb squad because every time you step up.
I don't know if they're going to say that, but obviously with Gennady, it's happening with Gennady. I mean, it's happening with Gennady.
But that happens a lot when they're just the highest level of fights.
Of course. I mean,
when we had the Danny Garcias, Keith Thurman,
Yeah, but you know, Matt, you and I understand that because you and I are on a different level in terms of boxing knowledge. But the casual, we're generalizing.
No, I'm just trying to educate those casual fans that may be listening and may, when you said that, they may have agreed with it. They may have said, yeah, exactly. But I'm trying to educate them and say, no, that doesn't happen. Yes, every once in a while you're going to get a Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran, where it's like a third round knockout in vicious fashion. That happens occasionally. But most of the time, the highest level fights, they go all 12. Why? Because to get to that level, you have to have good power. You have to have an amazing chin. You have to be able to be durable and go all 12 rounds. You have to have the cardio, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to get more decisions like a Canelo Triple G example, which we're going to talk about at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, by the way. So make sure you tune in for that one as well.
Definitely. So subscribe to the channel. Get that notification when we go live at 7:30, where we'll be talking a little Canelo Triple G and the aftermath. We're going to go out to the phone lines on this one. Before we do that, we're going to head out to our sponsors.
Fight fans, don't leave the decision in the hands of the judges. Download the Throwdown scoring app and receive live scoring, CompuBox stats, boxing predictions from other users around the world. Head over to your iPhone App Store or your Google Play Store and download it absolutely free.
We're going to go out to the UK.
Hey, you know who I miss? I miss Blackshirt.
I thought I won the fight.
You thought you won the fight? Why? Ain't no fucking pants in the fucking look.
Yeah, respect to everyone listening in the past, present, or future. Wilder cleans Ortiz's clock within six rounds, in my opinion. You know, Ortiz, there's some allegations that he's just some old chestnut. I don't believe he's necessarily older than he is, but he's still old. And, you know, I don't think he's like a Floyd Mayweather or Manny Pacquiao, where he's going to be, you know, an elite fighter in his old age. I think once he comes up to someone who's truly elite, truly a champion as Wilder is, I think Wilder cleans him up fairly comfortably, if I'm being completely honest. I don't think he goes past six rounds. I will put him in on the fight, and I will put my money on Wilder to win within six rounds. When it's all said and done, do I think Ortiz is Wilder's best opponent? Maybe, but, you know, to me, I rank opponents on what you do after you lose. So, you know, once Ortiz gets dusted off, what does then Ortiz go on and then be to become Wilder's best opponent? Is Ortiz going to win a world title after this? Is he going to beat anybody in the north after this? We don't know. You know, since the man lost to Wilder, he hasn't really done anything. Yeah, he was in the fight with Povetkin, but, you know, something happened with Povetkin where stuff didn't happen. I don't know whatever happened. But, you know, it's all said and done. But, yeah, I think it's a good year for boxing now. I think we're finally getting a lot of the divisions that are now taking shape. A lot of the elite matchups that we wanted to see are getting cleaned up. I think the only matchup I'm thinking that's left to really make is maybe Pacquiao fighting either Errol Spence and Keith Thurman, and Wilder and Anthony Joshua. There might be some others that haven't been made yet, but I can't really think of too many off the top of my head. But yeah, so it looks like we're going to move forward. It's a good thing for boxing, but now all these fights are happening. Now that once they're finished, then what else is there to look forward to? That's a thought as well. So yeah, just called in. That's my call. If you ever take the long way home back to your wife or girlfriend, you're going to have a problem in the relationship.
Blackface was a great call, but it definitely got me thinking that we need to put a cap on this. This is a spontaneous show, plus we have another one scheduled at 7:30 where we will be discussing Canelo Alvarez and Triple G, the aftermath and everything else. So we're going to do a 45-second clock on this Deontay Wilder announcement. It's official. Press conference is Wednesday. you know, so you don't need that much time. So we're doing a 45-second clock on this. We're going out to, we got Donald in Richmond. Go.
I love it. I can't wait to see this fight. This is what Wilder needs. He needs to shut everybody up. I like Wilder. I only had to not like him when he was fighting my boy Gerald, but other than that, I am a Wilder fan. Another thing that I don't know if you guys know yet, Dominique Brazil is coming for vengeance. He does have a fight scheduled to fight Bermain de Stavern. So if he gets past Bermain de Stavern, I think he will be looking for the Wilder fight for the incident that they had. I just thought I'd put that out there. I know you might have known that already, Ness, right?
Yeah, we mentioned it earlier in the show.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I didn't hear it. I don't know if I heard you say that. Okay, but yeah, I'll definitely be calling back on your next one, too.
All right, Donna. Well, thanks for calling in. The problem with that, Matt and Alex, is really if Dominic Brazil beats Stavern, which I'd probably pick him to win.
Okay.
I don't know if he would. Well, he did stop Azuno by knockout, didn't he?
Yes,
well, all right. So it probably will be by knockout then. I don't know about Cleveland, probably outworking. But the thing is, it's not going to be enough for the fight fans to say, yeah, you know, Dominic Brazil versus Wilder, because they're still going to be pushing Wilder in the quote-unquote better opposition direction. Is Brazil, after a win over Stavern, who people discredit Wilder for, all of a sudden, you know, elite?
Potentially. At least top 10.
Depends how good Brazil looks, you know. If he looks real good doing the job, I mean, why not?
Well, all right. Let's jump out back to the phone lines. We're going to go from California to another part, obviously, San Francisco. Larry, talk to us.
Hey, big ups to the boxing voice. Hey, ain't no Dominic Brazil Wilder fight happening. If Wilder wins this fight, then it's Anthony Joshua next year, and it's a wrap. No time for Brazil. Hey, but I'm excited about this fight. When was the last time there was a great heavyweight fight in the U.S. that we could get excited about beforehand? I think this is awesome. Wilder will have to do a lot better than he's done to get the win, but it's possible. If he stays on the jab and gets his work done, then he can do it. Otherwise, I'm hyped. I'm glad this fight's finally official. And I'm out.
Larry, thanks for calling in. You know, I'm thinking of actually going to this fight and then leaving before the main event to come back and do the show, because I want to be there. I know this undercard's going to be sick, bro. I know it. We're nearing the end of the year. And Heyman has so many fighters that they got to stack them. It's going to be similar to the other October 14th card with Lubin, Charlo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And very quickly, we do have a ringer, the one that was granted the ringer status, Info Joe.
Oh, the
who gave that to him? I forget.
That was Smokin' Joe.
It's the Info Joe.
This portion of the show we call
Man, it's been a long time since I left you without the boxing voice in step two. That might have went over y'all heads. That's Rakim, y'all old school.
Nah, man, that's definitely heard it. Come on.
Hey, man, bomb squad all the way. He should get full credit. I think it would be a very exciting fight. I don't think it'd be an easy fight for Wilder, but because of the style, and Ortiz is very technical. But man, shout out to the boxing guys. We got this fight in Rigondeaux and Lomachenko. You got to do a show about that too, brothers. But good to hear you guys back, man. Shout out to everybody, man. All the listeners, all the callers, man. Peace, fam.
Info Joe, thanks for calling in. We're going out to what this is actually the new number four.
Alex Ubayet. Alex Ubayet. Thank God that you never seen this number six.
Yeah, that. But yeah, I'm gonna make it fast, man. My boy Deontay Wilder, he gonna struggle early. He gonna be getting outboxed, then out of nowhere, he's gonna hit Ortiz with a big bomb. that's going to change the fight, and he's going to eventually stop Ortiz. And that's my call, y'all.
All right, brother. Well, thanks for calling. We're going out to Fight Fan Franco. Talk to us.
Hey, man. Bomb squad, baby. Give my man his respect when he flatlined Ortiz. That's all I want. As long as whoever's saying that Ortiz gonna win, when he get flatlined, give my man his respect. I don't want to hear nothing else after. Put some respect on his name. And I ain't gonna say it no more.
Well, all right, brother, Fight Fan Franco, thanks for calling in all the way in Charlotte, California. Or no, Carolina, excuse me. Well, it's that time, ladies and gentlemen. Final thoughts, I guess. I'm gonna just say I'm very happy. Not only for this fight, but damn, this year is cray. I mean, I just can't believe it's just fight after fight after fight after fight. And they're all good. Man, except Cotto Kama guy.
But even that fight wasn't too bad. It was entertaining, at least.
Entertaining because Cotto had the opportunity to just beat the brakes out of Kamaga. He was just there to be punched.
Yes, that does happen.
And he couldn't even stop Kamaga. Like, Kamaga still kept coming forward.
Let's be honest. Like, fights like Canelo, Amir Khan was entertaining. But that was a complete mismatch and a devastating knockout. But it was entertaining. Fights can still be a shitty fight.
You know what I thought was entertaining? This show, but the thumbs up are not indicative of that. If you're watching this in the future, present, or past, please hit that thumbs up button. It helps with the visibility of the show. It helps the show grow. It helps us get new, interesting callers that then you grow to love. And remember, if you enjoy the show, you can always drop us a 5-star review. It costs you absolutely nothing on iTunes. It's very important to each and every host. And, you know, that's what we want. So do it.
And, of course, go to patreon.com/theboxingvoice if you want to help support this channel and this show and help us do more shows. And, of course, you get extra hours of content.
Plus, some cool swag. Some cool swag. Shirts are coming. Everyone that is signed up to Patreon will be receiving a little Christmas present. I got a new design about to press up. Cash Weezy tapped out, so I got to go back to my old designer and get him to do it. Cash Weezy's so booked with his new little Cash Weezy line. You can check out the pictures on my Instagram, Matt's Instagram, or Alex Doomsday Lioness Instagram from this weekend's festivities. And we're all wearing a couple of the shirts throughout the weekend. Did I just interrupt you during your final thoughts there, Matt? Probably so, right? That's what I do best.
Maybe a little bit. But just a little bit. Just really quickly. I mean, it is just the announcement show. We're not really giving our breakdowns and picks yet. You know, let's do some film study and actually review this fight and this matchup. But it is such a great matchup. I think you can really make an argument that the winner of this could be the best heavyweight on the planet.
Whoa. How could you make that argument when Joshua beat...
Hold on, because Klitschko lost. Like, that's an easy slam dunk right there. But
so because Klitschko lost, that makes Luis Ortiz better than him?
Hold up. Klitschko was coming off a loss to Tyson Fury and 2 years off. And AJ went 10 hard rounds with him and knocked out and barely knocked him out. Anyways, beside the point, because I think AJ's a
hipster Hunter gonna get the hate.
But because I'm not making that argument, I'm saying there is an argument there. And I think that, like Larry said, like it could just potentially this is a fight, and then it's AJ Wilder next year in the spring.
I don't know. That sounds soon, man.
But think about it. Eddie Hearns always said it was supposed to be Pulev then Ortiz. If Ortiz is knocked off that list already after...
Yeah, you slide into the fucking Dillian White rematch, bro. Listen, AJ's young, and there's no... Wilder Joshua is Pacquiao Mayweather. It is Canelo Golovkin, like... And that build isn't there. It's there for you and I because we're hardcore American fans, but... Is that what the UK public want? Are they clamoring for Joshua versus Wilder? Do the US that are not hardcores, do they even know Anthony Joshua?
I think with the likes of Eddie Hearn as a lead promoter, he will make everyone know that this is the fight. That's a slam dunk promotion. It's so easy. We have two guys that are so charismatic naturally. and you have the best promoter in the game in this fight, I think it's an easy.
I mean, I'm calling it right now. If it happens in 2018, it's going to happen in November. It's not going to happen early, man.
I'll put it this way. It's definitely happening in 2018.
Yeah, and 100% happening. End of 2018 is the only possibility. The only one.
Wilder would definitely happen in 2018. I think it's going to happen in the first half of 2018. Mark my words.
First half is June. J to J. All right.
January to July, isn't it? Or is it January to...
No, 6 months. First half. If you're doing quarter, then it's different. Then, you know.
It's happening the first two quarters of...
Yeah, first two quarters. Still the first half, bro. You still got 6 months. You won. That's a pretty big net. I'm at least going at the end because I know it's going to be the last fight, bro. There's no way. They both got it. They both listen. Wilder hasn't even done a pay-per-view.
Because this fight is most likely going to be in the UK. I'm just to be honest. It almost needs to be in the spring or summertime because of outdoor stadiums.
Yeah, maybe.
The rain. They don't want the rain, so I almost guarantee it will happen. In the first episode. Anyway, that's my final thought. I'm Matt Tipster Hunter. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, Matt Hunter TBV on Instagram, and my Mixed Martial Arts podcast, Mixed Combat Radio, is on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Peace.
Well, we're not giving official breakdowns and all that. I'm excited that we got the fight. I know this is a fan-friendly fight, And, you know, the future for both of these fighters, you know, regardless of who wins, they both, it's an interesting route what they're going to take if they win. Where is Deontay Wilder going next if he wins? Where is Lewis going next if he wins? I mean, you still got some belts out there. Anthony, Joseph Parker still has a belt?
Joseph and Anthony Joshua have three belts.
No,
actually, my boy Joshua doing what all true champions do, and he's repping at IBO. So he got three titles, and then Joseph Parker has one. You seen him in the pictures with Pujol repping all three? You seen him, Matt? I know you mad. Yeah, tell him why you mad, Sean. Tell him why you mad.
So yeah, you can catch me on Facebook, Alexander Linus. You can do Instagram, Alex_Doomsday_Linus. And the Twitter, Alex TBV Linus, still trying to get the hang of that.
For sure, man. Don't forget, we'll be back 7:30 Eastern time. We're going to be talking some Canelo, Triple G, and everything that matters with that. So follow us on all forms of social media. Do not forget to subscribe right here to the YouTube channel so that you can get those notifications every time we go live. And once again, just want to say thank you to everyone. That's an applause from us to you. For those that have subscribed, because we're at 55,000, thank you to you. And we're out.
Basically, remember, we'll be back at 7:30.
Said that already, and I hung up already.
I'm going to Blog Talk. They hear.